Oh yeah, welcome to another episode of Ask Pastor Adam, and we have a fun question about the end times. From Facebook, this question comes. Some companies have already started microchipping their employees. What do you think about this in light of the mark of the beast? Well, before we talk about microchips, let's talk about the beast of Revelation and his mark. You can read about the beast in Revelation chapter 13. The beast is Satan's agent and instrument to make war against the people of King Jesus. He emerges out of the sea, which in the very heavy symbol-laden book of Revelation stands for the realm of evil. Anyone familiar with the Old Testament book of Daniel will also remember that the beasts there represent world powers that had come against God's people, Israel. In this sense, the beast here in Revelation chapter 13 probably represents every evil empire that has emerged in opposition to God and to the people of God. This means that the beast has appeared and reappeared throughout history. But certain details in the text lead me to believe that we should expect a future evil empire with a tyrannical leader at the helm. In the Apostle John's day, it was Rome. In the future, who knows? So the beast of Revelation 13 makes war against Christians and forces everyone everywhere to worship him. It's interesting, the word Antichrist doesn't actually appear in the book of Revelation, but make no mistake, this beast here is the same system and the same person as the man of lawlessness and the Antichrist that we read about in the rest of the New Testament. He will be assisted by a second beast, which emerges from the earth. Later in the book of Revelation, this person is called the false prophet. The first beast is likely a secular power, but the second beast will exercise some kind of spiritual influence. He's going to be a religious leader. This beast will lead a worldwide movement to worship the first beast. At some point, this represents the moment of decision for the world. Are you going to follow Jesus, or are you going to follow the beast and the dragon? The false prophet will deceive people through sham miracles and compel people to worship the beast using a combination of persecution and then economic controls. Everyone will be forced to receive a mark on their forehead or their right hand, without which you cannot participate in the economy. This means that you cannot work. This means you can't buy anything, not even a gallon of milk. So, what is the mark of the beast then? What's going on here in Revelation chapter 13? Well, the word mark simply means a brand or something that is etched into something. Whatever this branding is, it is, you'll note, it's connected with the beast, and two, the location of the mark is either on the forehead or the right hand of the people who accept the mark. So a good question to ask when reading through the book of Revelation is, where have we seen this before? In the immediate context, the mark of the beast is it's a parody, it's a cheap knockoff of the seal of God. You'll find the seal of God mentioned in Revelation 7:2, also verse 4, 5, and 8, Revelation 9:4, and then right after chapter 13 in Revelation 14:1. So it's a knockoff of the seal of God. This seal is a spiritual marking placed on the foreheads of Christ followers. It signifies that they belong to God and they belong to Jesus. But this isn't the first time that we read about God sealing people in the Bible. In the book of Ezekiel, God puts a mark on the foreheads of true believing Jews who share the prophet's broken heart over the nation's idolatry and impending judgment. This seal of God then protects them from the coming wrath and the coming judgment. Here's the question that I wrestle with. If the seal of God is a spiritual marking, in other words, it's something that God sees but people can't, it's not a real tattoo or branding or anything like that, but it's real, then is the mark of the beast also a spiritual branding? Well, it's possible that the mark of the beast is a symbolic branding for those who reject Jesus and the gospel, which means it has nothing to do with microchips. Revelation is a book filled with symbolism. It is literally a signified book, Revelation 1:1. But just because it may be symbolic, it doesn't mean it's not real. Symbols in Revelation always point to a spiritual reality. In John's day, Christians were already squeezed out of the economy by local trade guilds. You can think of these as unions that controlled different sections of the local economy. So these guilds were very committed to emperor worship, and they required all of their members to worship the emperor and their gods. This, of course, forced Christians out of the marketplace and underground. They couldn't buy and they couldn't sell. Refusal to participate in false worship would also pretty quickly lead to accusations of disloyalty, and then to economic ruin. You know, all this was already happening in John's day. So in Revelation, the mark of the beast probably signifies a person's allegiance to the emperor Domitian, to Rome as a state power, and to its gods. Well, that said, I'm open to the idea that the mark could also be physical in nature. It happened before, so it could happen again. There was real, historical, non-symbolic branding forced upon Egyptian Jews in the centuries before Jesus. Many Jews and Christians would remember during the reign of Ptolemy VIII, somewhere around 146 to 117 BC, how Egyptian Jews were forced to register and then be branded with the seal of an ivy leaf, which was the symbol of the god Dionysus. Every Jew who refused this branding or this ivy tattoo was put to death. You can read about that in 3 Maccabees chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. There was real, coercive economic pressure placed on Christians by the trade guilds in John's day, accompanied by the real litmus tests of emperor worship. So, if you believe, like I do, that a real historical person called the Antichrist is somewhere on the horizon, then it seems to me that you have to be open to the idea that the mark may be something more than just symbolic in nature. After all, the Antichrist is going to need some kind of mechanism to test brand loyalty and something that gives him economic control over his subjects. So when I read something like Revelation chapter 13, I try to take an eclectic approach, one that appreciates its message to the original historical context, the first readers, one that speaks to the entire church age, and one that is future-oriented or forward-looking. In John's day, the mark could have been a physical branding or a seal of some sort in certain cities controlled by the trade guilds that allowed you to buy and sell. If John recorded the apocalypse during the rule of the Emperor Domitian, then there was already fierce competition in some of the cities to see who was most devoted to the emperor. Domitian even had coins minted that declared him to be the father of the gods, and some cities tried to outdo each other in emperor worship. The city of Ephesus, for example, in an attempt to one-up the other cities, actually erected a temple with a 23-foot statue of the emperor's image. It was difficult to be a Christian in the reign of Domitian. And one of the reasons that John wrote the Apocalypse was to encourage Christians to persevere. But what about the entire church age? In this way of reading it, Revelation is a timeless call to endure persecution and to resist false prophets. There are many false teachings and false prophets at work in the world today. Some of them, like the false prophet Muhammad, yes, you heard me right, has deceived 1.8 billion plus people into believing that Jesus is not God's son and did not forgive sins and defeat death through his death and resurrection. Christians throughout the Muslim world face daily persecution and death. Revelation reminds them that though they suffer imprisonment and death for a little while, they will reign with Jesus Christ forever. Other false teachings are harder to discern, especially in the Western world, but no less aggressive in their desire to stamp out Christianity and Christian ideas. In the last decade, Christian bakers and wedding photographers have been harassed and forced out of the marketplace, no longer able to sell their products because of their religious convictions. In the last decade, our government came after the Little Sisters of the Poor. This is a faith-based organization providing care for impoverished women and the elderly. And the sisters were sued by the previous administration because they refused to provide their employees with things like the Plan B drug and other contraception mandates that were listed in the Affordable Health Care Act. Now, just to be clear, I'm not calling anyone the Antichrist. What I am saying is that Christians in the United States who have yet to taste real persecution had better get prepared. There will come a day in America where it will be costly to follow Jesus and sound doctrine. A great apostasy is coming, and we have much to learn about endurance from our brothers and sisters in the Middle East, Africa, and parts of Asia. And here's what I think something like Revelation 13 could mean in the future. It happened before, it can happen again. I think that we're supposed to see the persecutions that have taken place against the Jews before the time of Christ with Antiochus Epiphanes. You know, every mention of the 3.5 years or the 42 months is a theological throwback in the book of Revelation to this time. I think we're supposed to look at things like the destruction of the Jewish temple in 70 AD and the tyrannies of Nero and Domitian as little windows into the final persecution against Christ and his people. Each of these historical episodes shows us what the final time of tribulation is going to be like, only the final one is going to be bigger and nastier. This means that the events described in Revelation chapter 13 possess both a contemporary, first century fulfillment and a future fulfillment. Two things in the text of Revelation chapter 13 lead me to believe that the events described there still await a future historical fulfillment. One, in John's day, only some of humanity worshipped the emperor cult. But here, all of humanity is forced to participate in the mark. Revelation 13:16 reads this way: He, the false prophet, also forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave. That's everybody. Small and great, rich and poor, free and slave. All humanity. To receive a mark on his right hand or his forehead, so that nobody could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name. So that just tells me that there's still a fulfillment yet to come. The second thing, and this is more of a grammatical issue, is John uses the future tense in verse 8. he says they will worship to depict this time of idolatry. The future tense means I think John expected it hadn't yet happened during his time, but was on its way. This means that you could be faced in your lifetime with the decision to reject Jesus and take the mark of the beast. So what about microchips then? Well, it's not unreasonable to think that the coming Antichrist would want to harness the powers of modern technology to control people. We are already well on our way to a cashless society and a surveillance society. Our cell phones are already transmitting data about our movements, our schedules, and our spending habits to somebody. Should we fall off the economic cliff, our financial institutions can already control the amount of money that you can withdraw from the bank. History tells us that economic collapse, combined with the rise of populism and identity politics, can always give rise to a tyrant. All of this is already happening, and the surveillance and the financial controls will only intensify in the coming days. What seems convenient today, i.e. being cashless, will be more and more used to track and control us tomorrow. And all I'm saying is that this tech could be used by a future Antichrist. But fear not. If the mark is physical in nature, either some kind of branding or implant, it will only be taken in conscious rejection of Christ and the gospel. In other words, I don't think you need to worry about getting tricked into taking the mark of the beast. The mark is not going to be like a tattoo that you had inked on the small of your back in your 20s, but now you regret it in your 40s. Was it unfortunate? Yes. Life-threatening? No, right? The mark is different, though. Everyone who takes the mark will know that it means loyalty to the Antichrist, and it means rejection of Jesus. You're not going to miss it. You won't be able to buy or sell without it. Well, whatever the mark of the beast means, one thing is certain. Jesus will return one day and put an end to evil empires, beasts, and false prophets. A day of decision is coming. Everyone who puts their faith in Jesus could suffer for a little while, but God promises that we will reign with Jesus forever. Everyone who rejects Jesus and the good news will end up sharing the same destiny as the devil, the Antichrist, and the false prophets. Oh, friends, there's a new heaven and a new earth to embrace, and there is a hell to be shunned. Well, thanks for the question. And if you have a question about faith or the Bible, you don't have to wait till the afterlife. Send me your question and I'll wrestle with it.